This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Stevie Ray Vaughan's Pride and Joy. On the weekend when there are a lot of Pride Fest events going on all around the world, and one of the biggest is in Toronto, where World Gay Pride is underway. And our friend Angela Giampolo is there. She's the LGBT activist and attorney who blogs as PhillyGayLawyer.com and has been on this show many, many times over the years. Angela, welcome back to America Weekend.
Thank you, Paul. I'm very proud to be back.
We're proud to have you. There were more developments this week, in addition to this being the week when we celebrated the first anniversary of the Edie Windsor and DOMA decisions made last year by the Supreme Court. We also had some things that happened in Utah and Indiana on the same-sex marriage front. Fill us in on what happened and what will happen next in the courts.
Sure, and some people also don't know that we've had developments in Louisiana as well, but I would say the most historic and landmark decision since Edie happened almost a year since, and that was in Utah. We had the very first appellate court, meaning circuit court, come down in favor in deciding the appeal, come down in favor of marriage equality. So the 10th Circuit in deciding Utah's case has now decided in favor of marriage equality, which is huge. And it cited the Windsor case over 51 times. And in all of the decisions post-Windsor, the Windsor case has been cited over 500 times. I mean, it's really a precedential case that's going to win marriage equality around the country for it soon.
So what happens now with the 10th Circuit in Utah? And by the way, does that affect other states or just Utah?
For right now, just Utah. And the Utah Attorney General has already said they can do one of two things. They can appeal to the 10th Circuit, and instead of just three judges on the 10th Circuit, get all of the 10th Circuit judges to hear the case. But the Utah Attorney General has already said they're going right up to the Supreme Court of the United States. So Utah will be appealing this case, and it only pertains to Utah right now. But what's going to be really fascinating about this, and I think everyone is changing they should change the strategy with which they're looking at this. This is going to become a circuit issue and no longer a state-by-state issue. So to your point, what states does it affect? Well, every circuit has multiple states in it. So with all of the circuits, and now we have cases in all 30 remaining states, okay, so there is not one state where the gay marriage ban is not being appealed. All 50 states, the entire country is dealing with this issue. And as the state-by-state cases get decided and go up to their circuits, the circuits split. How the circuits come down on this issue may force the Supreme Court to take it. If all the circuits decided in favor of marriage equality, we wouldn't have an issue. But it's looking like the Fifth Circuit, the circuit that involves Texas and the most conservative circuit of judges, may find against marriage equality, causing a circuit split, and the Supreme Court would have to take it and decide once and for all.
Do you want this to go to the Supreme Court so it is decided once and for all?
I mean, that would put talk about finality, right? That would put the nail in the coffin, so to speak. And in terms of timing, it does look like we could see this in June of next year. And how amazing would it be to have a trifecta of cases in LGBT history decided on June 26th? The Lawrence v. Texas, the sodomy case 10 years prior to Windsor, the Windsor case on June 26th, and then potentially the nail in the coffin June 26th of 2015.
Now, if this were to go before the court in the next session, is that possible, by the way, that this fall the court might consider taking this up?
Not in this fall, 2015.
Okay.
I would say June of 2015. And just to touch, I know we never have enough time, but to touch on the other cases, Louisiana, the federal court judge in Louisiana was only supposed to hear the validity of out-of-state marriages. If you're married in New York and you move to Louisiana, should it be recognized in Louisiana? And he decided, he took it upon himself, you know what? I just want to hear marriage equality generally. I don't want to just deal with this issue, half of the issue. I want to deal with the gay marriage ban. So even though the gay marriage ban wasn't before him, that Louisiana judge will be deciding on it. So that's huge.
But just to get back to the Supreme Court for a moment, considering that this is the court that did make the ruling in DOMA and Prop 8 and the E.D. Windsor case just a year ago, what do you predict would happen when this gets back to them from the various states and the various circuits in the fall or spring in the next couple of years?
The decision in the Windsor case is written in such a way that I don't even see how they could find against marriage equality. The Utah case is also, the opinion is also important to note that for the first time, strict scrutiny was applied specifically. So a lot of legal scholars knocked the Windsor case because Kennedy didn't come out and say exactly what level of scrutiny. He sort of beat around the bush. In the Pennsylvania case, Judge Jones applied intermediate level of scrutiny. That was the first time we saw that. And in the Utah case, a circuit, you know, appellate court used strict scrutiny. That's the level of scrutiny to which women are held, disabled people are held, African Americans are held. So that could potentially lead the way for a Supreme Court decision that would hold LGBT individuals as a protected class, just like age, race, gender. That's huge. So not only do I think we'll get a sweeping, you know, landmark ruling giving marriage equality around the country, but it could come out that we're a protected class, just like age, gender, and disabilities. That to me, and for that to happen, the court has to decide that a group of people, a class of people, have been discriminated against for an excessive, a long period of time. And the Utah Circuit Court has said that that's exactly what has happened.
What about the people in Utah and Indiana, gay and lesbian couples who got their marriage licenses and maybe even had their ceremonies in the short time between a court's decision and the time it was stayed? Or even the four couples in St. Louis who got married in the mayor's office a couple of days ago in a state where it's not even legal. Are all these people just kind of in limbo now?
Right. I mean, I feel like we touch on this every time we talk. It's like, you know, you can get married until you can't. Right. And so to your point about whether this should go to the Supreme Court, it absolutely should go to the Supreme Court because we have all these situations where people are married until they can't. In Utah, 1,300 marriages occurred during that time frame you spoke of. And those actually the Attorney General of the United States came down and said they will be recognized. Indiana, there's a stay pending appeal. So just like Utah, it took about 3 weeks before the Attorney General came down and decided whether those 1,300 marriages were going to be recognized pending the appeal. So Indiana, we don't know yet, but likely if it follows Utah, anyone who got married before the appeal, before the stay rather, will be recognized. But Utah, it's for sure. The other ones don't really know yet. But, you know, it's just a limbo that no one in this country should ever live in. That's just not the fabric and what this society was based on.
I've never asked you this in the time that you've been on with me in these last 15 months, Angela, but this has been a remarkable time, and I wonder how you, not as an attorney, but as a person, have been affected by it.
I have chills. I have chills with you asking me that. You know, I'm in the midst of writing a book on it, and it's a civil rights movement that has progressed faster than any other civil rights movement that we've ever had. And, you know, personally, my friends, my clients, you know, I've just seen so many people that have been affected by it that, you know, at least on a weekly basis, I'm brought to tears about, you know, clients of mine that have been together 43 years that can finally be married. And one of them has a terminal condition and they're going to be able to marry and inherit from one another and die a legitimate married couple, you know, and to have them in my office and tell them that Pennsylvania passed marriage equality, I mean, it was more than an honor. It was a privilege. So both as my role as an attorney and just as a human, it has been remarkable to see the developments over the last year and a half, but really the last 5 years. I mean, this has been, you know, a progression that I would say started about 4 or 5 years ago. Once the Windsor case happened, it was all over.
Yeah, well, it has been a remarkable progression and a remarkable change in social attitudes and public opinion. And people like you who've been out there on the forefront of it have really been leaders, and I've really appreciated your friendship and help on this show over the last 15 months.
Absolutely. It's not a thank you thing. And, you know, and right back to you, thank you for putting a spotlight on these issues, because it's people like you and shows like yours that have allowed, you know, my voice, despite how loud it is, to really project to to everyone out there. So
well,
thank
thanks.
You.
Thanks, Angela. Have a great time in Toronto this weekend.
America weekend.